podcast on Wolf Spirit Radio on the first and third Sundays of the month at 7 p.m. UK time. Simon actively encourages you to join the conversation by using the Ask Question menu link at the top of the page at wowwowwow.wolfspiritradio.com/listen. Please come early to ask your questions. Now, on with the show. The next 2 hours will be full of debate, interview guests and up-to-date news. Please join Simon and play an active role. Connecting Consciousness Show. You're listening to Wolf Spirit Radio.
But unfortunately, I'm not going to be able to go down to London.
Sorry, Simon. I just realised that I've had both of us muted since the show began. So, oh God, I was doing this. Please take my apologies. Do you want to start your announcements again? Sorry about that. Oh God.
Right. So, are we actually live now?
Yeah, we're live now. Yeah,
fantastic. Yeah. So JP had unfortunately muted the mic when we live. So I've been chatting away to nobody except you, of course.
Yeah, I could tell you. I mean, you were talking about how you went.
Oh, right. I'll do it again, shall I?
Go on. You've got the announcements and the.
Yes, right. Well, first of all, I do need to go through that. So first of all, I wanted to say to everyone, of course, last month it was, a 5-week month. So I missed everybody, and I know people did tune in. But I'm sorry that I wasn't there, but it was nice to have that extra Sunday off. I haven't been very well. I did have to go to hospital. And as a result of that, I will not be attending the CC meeting in London. I'm really sorry. I can't, but where people are booked to visit me, or I've got Skypes booked, they go ahead as normal, but I'm not traveling to London. Let's just quickly go through the news. First of all, there's a very important vote just taken place in France. The polling stations closed about an hour ago, British time. And it is very important because we have a right-wing candidate facing a investment banker. Now, the investment banker is slated to win, but interestingly enough, the turnout, the last result I had, the turnout was down 6%. And now that will work against the investment banker. And the turnout in France is projected, I haven't got any figures up to date, these are about an hour ago, but projected to be the lowest turnout in France since 1981. Now, if that is the case, Marie Le Pen, the daughter of Le Pen, is likely to get very close to the 50%. The French system is somewhat different from the British system, or indeed the American system. If she can get 50.1%, then she's won. Now, what the polls are saying is there's no way that she can win. The investment banker is going to win. But what we're seeing is large numbers of people are not turning up to vote for the investment banker. So please watch that. It's really important because if she by chance was to win, she's vowed to take France out of the European monetary system and then to give the French people a referendum on whether they wish to leave the European Union. And for people outside of Great Britain, just be reminded that that's what the British Prime Minister did. He gave the British people a referendum and they, as a majority, voted to leave Europe. So this is a really important vote from the French because if she wins, it is the destruction of the European Union. It's the end of it. And I think the British perhaps know that the writing's on the wall, hence that's why Brits got out. Okay, talk about the American situation. First of all, I want to talk about Donald Trump and Russia. There's been a lot of debate over the last few weeks about, you know, are we going for a third world war? What is the situation between Putin and Trump? We're not going for a third world war. And a lot of what is happening is gamesmanship for the attention of the established media while President Trump and President Putin are actually having a very cordial dialogue. And this is actually, I don't quite know how we would word this, but throwing a smokescreen to the warmongers and the establishment who want to see a ramping up of a negative energy between both Trump and Putin. And while that's going on, the establishment will not attack Trump. While they think that President Trump is doing the establishment's agenda and attacking Putin, they have eased off him. So what Trump and Putin have agreed is that on the public show, they'll bare their fists. And that keeps the media off off Trump's back. But behind the scenes, actually, they're getting on rather well. Am I letting the cat out of the bag, as we say? Well, yes, but I think it's important because there have been a lot of people who've been confused as to what's going on there, and I think that we need to balance it a bit. And talk about the situation between America, Trump, and China. This is in direct relation to North Korea and does include Russia. China has tacitly agreed to not intervening if America wants to launch a proportionate attack against North Korea. When this isn't in the news, this isn't in the established news, when North Korea threatened to detonate a nuclear bomb in South Korea, China then said to America, if you want to take out any particular military site in North Korea with your stealth missiles, we will not stop you, because China has a massive investment in South Korea. So although North Korea makes all the belligerent noise and China sits back, when push comes to shove and there's a potential for South Korea to be infrastructurally damaged, China won't have that because it has absolutely trillions of dollars invested there. So let's let another police car go by. So basically what we've got is a situation where the American military have been told that they do have to go back to Trump to be given the all clear, but they will most likely be authorized a small strike against North Korea in the next 4 weeks unless Korea really reins back on what it's trying to do. So that's important. I wanted to talk also about US and Canada. It's true, for those who perhaps have managed to get some of the news, that there is an embargo now against softwood lumber coming up from Canada, and Canada's saying to America that it will ban its coal. This is more to do with congressmen and senators in the US who for a long time have had issues with lumber coming in from Canada, but it plays to the agenda of only bringing in imports from other countries if there's a reciprocal arrangement, and the US is beginning now to flex its muscles. So we could see a problem between Trudeau, the President of Canada, and the US President. So watch that one, because if that escalates, then it's a sign for all other countries what America's intention is regarding imports and exports. Wanted to do that one. I want to talk about the situation in Venezuela. Venezuela is now becoming out of hand. There is a real likelihood of a coup at some point again. So just have a hang on that one. The economy is utterly collapsed. It was one of the main countries that both Wynne Keach and I wanted to start up the FairX system as quickly as we can. Obviously, America's important, Britain's important, Europe's important, but we felt Venezuela was really important, a South American country, along with Brazil, because these were countries that were really suffering. And there's now leaked, I believe, I haven't seen it, but I've been told there's leaked video footage now of the situation in Venezuela, so that's worth watching. Let's talk now more about the West. The financial situation is still precarious. Just because the spotlight seems to be off it doesn't mean everything's gone back to normal. It really hasn't. There have been two major banks that have had a very secretive injection of cash from China. Very unusual. You see, in 2008, when we had the banking collapse in America and Great Britain, China did not intervene. And so what in Britain we had to do was to basically pay from taxpayers' money. Now, what China's doing is saying we can use this to our advantage, because if a bank begins to go down, if we go in and save the day, we are going to have complete control of that bank. So China's not doing it because it cares about the people in the West. It's doing it because it gives it an incredible leverage over not just the bank, but a way a whole government forms its policy. Because if you've got another state owning 51% of a national bank, then that country starts to dictate policies to you. So please keep an eye on that. So the situation is not by any means any better. And for those of you who are buying gold and silver, you must be aware that the precious metals market is being manipulated. Now, if President Trump wants to move to a gold-backed currency, but there probably isn't enough gold in the US to do that, there is the potential for a silver-backed currency, and the moment that happens, silver will absolutely skyrocket. If there was enough gold, then gold would skyrocket. What we're seeing is there's just a handful of people that control the gold and silver price, and the platinum as well. This metal price is being artificially managed. It can still go higher. So that's worth hanging on to. Okay, I wanted just to finally, on the world news, to talk about Carol Rosen, who I've had a number of conversations with. She's a very, very special lady. She actually met Von Braun, the ex-Nazi rocket scientist. And in conversations with Von Braun, and there's plenty of clips on the YouTube with her, basically Von Braun had said, you know, you've got to watch for this because the West will say that Russia is the big enemy. Then it will be terrorism. Then it might be asteroids, or it might be the other way around. But ultimately, his key word was the last card. The last card will be a fake or false alien invasion. Now, in recent months or years, that's been poo-pooed, as we say in Britain. It's been pushed aside. No, they won't do that. It's impossible. And I've always said, look, it's on the table. It's one of the options they have. Now, evidence is coming to me from a number of sources that they are looking at a variation of that. Doesn't mean it'll be happening. It means it's a variation. They have, like, imagine you put a deck of cards out and you pull all the queens out from your deck of cards. Well, these are the sort of options they've got. And one of the option is to have a false prophet, in September start saying that the new Messiah is here. And it actually is exactly what Revelations in the Bible says. So the church actually is agreeing here. The church actually says that there will be a fake God, a fake Messiah. And I'm getting information that there's potential for the Pope to wheel out somebody and say, this character isn't human. He is alien. He's our Messiah. God was an alien. He's come back to us. No human can sort out the mess on this planet. Therefore, we have to embrace this non-human entity because he is the salvation for the world. Now, that sounds absolutely off the wall. It sounds totally crazy, but I absolutely assure you that this is a serious playing card on the table of the handful of people that basically make the decisions on this planet. Clearly, it would not be the real Messiah. It would be a total fabrication, a total fake. And I would just say to people, reject it utterly. Totally reject it. Okay, that's the end of the world news. I just want to talk about connecting consciousness and Canada in particular. Had a bit of an issue with some of the members in Canada. And there are some very silly things doing the rounds. Some people saying that I sound different. And as a result of that, I've been possessed by a devil. Well, actually, I use different electronic equipment, sometimes on a laptop, to connect with the show. Sometimes I'm on the PC. Sometimes I have what's called a cold. Sometimes, you know, I've been rushing around in the day. So to say that I sound different and to say I've been taken over by something is just ridiculous. Other people saying that Wynne Keach is a black magician. Anybody who thinks any of this needs their head examined, frankly, and they don't want those people in connecting consciousness. And my response is, you give me one thing on any radio show where I've said anything that's been anti-human. How anybody can listen to a third or a fourth or a fifth party scaremongering when you've got the real deal here on the radio show and you have the chance to ask me questions is just beyond me. So anyway, I wanted to do that. Now, I've only got this hour. I am going to quickly go and thank people very, very much. I need to do this. It's very important to me. Thank you, Darla, Sandro, Jean Robin, Peltola, Jeff, Sarah, Tom, Jacqueline, Imar, Alexandra, Michael K. Hi, Michael. Mia, Jason, Amanda, Donna, Carolyn, Jackie, Ryan, Alexania, Susan, Dr. T, John, that's a real doctor, by the way, John, Petra, Joan, Anne, and Theodore Marr from Ever Beyond Radio. Theodore asked me to go on his radio, and I did an hour, and he so kindly sent me a donation because he said, I know you're struggling. That's so kind of him. Simon, Holly, John, Ricky, Christina, Thorin, R, Robert, nearly finished, JP. I'll just finish off. It's important to me. I need to say thank you to people.
Take your time.
Thank you. Abigail, Avery, and I hope I pronounced this okay, Bohuslava, Bruno, Stephen, Natalie, Joanne, Caleb, and DFW. There were other people who donated. I just literally pull out as much as I can fit on one side of paper. Thank you to everybody who's donated. I'm really grateful to you. And Jeff, yeah, I think I've thanked Jeff. Yes, thanks, Jeffrey. So could we get on with the questions then, JP?
Yes, we can. Okay, so let's dive deeply into... Where is it? It's like... The questions rolled in very, so here we go. So from, iCar, Warm Spring. This spring has been a strange one. In March and the first 2 weeks in April, weather here in Germany was fine and quite warm. The trees started to blossom, fruit bearing trees. Farmers told to bring out their seeds onto their fields early because some crisis might arise in the near future. And surprise, since mid-April, the weather has been quite cold, so a lot of blossoms froze to death.
Yep.
There are farmers who have already lost 90% of their crop, apple trees, due to that late winter. To me, that is quite suspicious, and I keep wondering if there's an intention behind this. As in 2017, some dark forces tried to destroy organic food and make food products even more expensive. Thank you for the information you provide, and thanks to JP for making this show. Irene in Germany.
Right, Irene, spot on. It was very, very, very insidious and nasty. What actually happened was... In countries that do export food, I think the scare is the right word. A scare was put out that there could be difficulty later in the year. So if farmers got their crops in early and harvested them early, they would then miss a drought that was projected to come along, you know, later on in the year. So a lot of farmers, this is establishment information, this is coming from the authorities, and so as a result of that, a great deal of farmers actually went and started planting up earlier than they would normally do so. And then what we've had is a complete change in the weather, not just here in Great Britain, but in many parts of the States and in many parts of Europe. It's almost an unseasonal cold spell, which has frozen the blossoms, which means that fruiting trees will be reduced by maybe as much as 50%. A lot of the root crops and cereal crops that put the shoots up very early have had their tops of their shoots burnt off in terms of frost, blackened off. So there will be a very heavy reduction there. Now, what's been happening is HARP, is being used to bring cold air from cold regions down, and then it's been used to make that cold air sit unnaturally over a location for much longer than it would normally. So artificial electronic means have been used to do this, which can only mean that food prices will rocket. I remember last year they did a prototype of this, and they were in my own local supermarket. There were labels up saying customers may only buy so many of these vegetables. So you could only buy, like, say, one cabbage or, you know, 2 pounds of potatoes. That was on in my supermarket last year. So depending on what damage has been done, we can expect to see that. So you're absolutely spot on. That's exactly what they've done. Thank you for the question.
Excellent. So, from Lauren Wagner, mirrors. A few weeks ago, my wife was burning sage. She placed the herb in an iron receptacle, lit it afire, and gently blew it out, and went from room to room, blessing her home as the sage was smouldering. Mm-hmm. When she got to the bathroom, specifically as she was looking in the mirror, flames raged out of the pot angrily and then died down after a moment. My question is, what is the deal with mirrors? There are many Hollywood movies involving negative spirits materializing from mirrors. There are also all sorts of children's games, such as Bloody Mary, where a child repeats a specific phrase into a mirror. Is this more than an urban legend, or is there something to this?
Right. I don't suppose it's written down whether the bathroom was the last room that the person went into with the sage.
Well, she said when she got to the bathroom, so I presume that it's like the last room.
Right, I would suggest it was the last room. Basically, what it was actually corralled out of every other room. It was pushed into that room, which means it didn't have a portal to get back on, or it couldn't activate the portal, or it was ejected from the room that the portal was in. And a mirror, you see, Screeing is a method of looking into a reflective object and sometimes foretelling the future. It was Queen Elizabeth I who had her official court screer. We called him James Bond because he was 007. And so anything that has a reflective surface is understood within that culture to be magic. And I would suggest that what's happened is whatever it was, for her to light that sage and bless the rooms, she must have felt there was something a bit negative there. It's been corralled out, pushed out, and I guess it got caught in the bathroom. There was a mirror there. It's a reflective object, and there has been a clash between two energies. And because you've got a combustible material going on in the smoke, then that has caused... it's almost like throwing petrol onto a fire. Whoosh, it goes up. That's perfectly okay, not to be worried about. You did exactly the right thing, and you gave it a very sore head. So I would suggest to you that's what that is. I would recommend that you start with the bathroom in future, make that your first room, and work your way back and make the last room the living room, or the room that you spend most of your time in. Okay, well done, thank you.
Okay, so from Martin, Wizard of the Universe, he does the roundtable show as well. Okay. Hello, Simon and JP, thank you for great work. My question is, do you know of anyone that has left this life and not gone to the light, and that they have ended up going to Source or back to their home planet? Much love and healing.
Not many, but a few. And the only way I can know that is when they come back again. In other words, somebody leaves here, goes to Source, and then chooses to come back, but comes back in a different way or a different guise. If you go to Source, then you are going to have freedom as to where you come back and as to where you incarnate. If you go into the trap, then there are other forces around you that will attempt to manipulate the situation and put your soul into a body that perhaps wasn't the one that you first chose. So yes, I've known of that, but the only way I know about it is when people have successfully done that, but then from their own volition decided they wanted to come back here because they still had work to do, or they'd received some sort of energy hike or new briefing, call it what you will, and so they wanted to come back and do some more work. So I would think there are plenty, but I don't know them all, obviously. I only know a few that I've met.
Okay. No. From another Martin, second Martin. Now, this is an interesting question. It came up a few weeks ago, I think. I can't remember if it was on your show, but in a show. So, I will get to the point. What is the deal with placentas? Are they items with power over the person they were connected to? In nature, the mother eats the placenta. Does that create a bond to the child? Also, do the Satanists actually use these, and is that why they're always collected at hospitals?
Right. Right, we'll give the medical version first of all, the established medical version. And there is truth in it, in the sense that the placenta has a huge amount of vitamin-rich material, and when a female animal has given birth, it might have lost a lot of blood, it's a very stressful time, and so to eat the placenta is actually to take back in a lot of those nutrients and vitamins. So from a medical point of view, actually, or a physical body's point of view, that makes perfect sense. However, it is a, how can I put this in human words? It is the bridge between the mother and the child. And it has a sacrificial connection and a sort of a cannibalistic connection. Satanists do, on occasion, eat the placenta. They do it around a special ceremony. I can't say whether all hospitals collect them up for that. I would suggest that most hospitals collect them up and burn them because it's seen as hygienic and the right way to do it. However, I know enough to know that there are some establishments which do have connections with the elite, and it is quite possible that some of them are saved. But the point is that it's not just a placenta. It has to be from a certain mother. You know, it's just like bloodline. So the answer is, yes, it does happen. Not very much, but yes, it does happen. Another good question.
Indeed, some very good questions here. Ho, so, fro, moving swiftly. Steph, believing the process, as the tablet. From Stefan, dear Simon and JB, thank you for the tremendous work you're doing. So, what was the result of the common tuning in on May the 1st? I sense the elevated energy. Have we tipped the scale? I feel that the biggest challenge is yet to come. On a personal level, what you said earlier is happening. From family to a government level, we are being threatened. It's so obvious that the Danish government, or our country, is being controlled by dark forces. Fortunately, the Danish CC group has doubled within the last months. We will win, even it might cost marriage and friendships. Distance between sleeping people and us growing rapidly now. So, yes, what's the May the 1st event?
What's the deal? Well, first of all, any of those countries in that area are very special. They're special in a way that America isn't. I always talk about how important America is, but I've always talked about America and the physical. Those countries in that part of the earth which the Danish group are in have a strong resistance to evil in a way that many other countries don't have. And what the elite have done is basically tried to compromise these countries by luxuries. Many of these countries have a very high standard of living. So on one hand, they've got this very strong connection to material needs, but on the other hand, they still retain a very strong community spirit. So, you know, it's very odd to see them absolutely mad about the finest motor car and, you know, I'm not saying gold-plated taps, but really wanting the very, very best materially, but then also prepared to pay higher taxes, providing those taxes go to the community. Well, when a country has a strong community spirit, then it is a danger to the elite, because what the elite want to do is to fracture communities. If you operate as a community, you operate as one. And that's why I set up Connecting Consciousness, because I wanted people to operate, yes, we're all individuals, but from time to time to operate as a group. And we've had a number of countries have done different meditations or different actions. We don't often do worldwide actions. They will come, but different countries have done them. We had a very important one that I wanted many countries to be involved in, which was an anti-satanic ritual on a certain day. I'm not even going to give it too much energy, but on certain dates, more people are abused at satanic rituals at any other date. And so, you know, it was brought to my attention, would we like to do this? And I thought that's a really good way. Let's not just have it one country. Let's get as many countries in as we can on this. And we'll take the bad guys on the chin here and have a go at it. Because even if you can just disrupt or save the lives of just one person, then my goodness me, that's wonderful. And, you know, I thank everyone. And I can do it now. You know, everybody who participated in a group action or a wider range action for good purposes, thank you. Because we are showing the planet that we are not going to sit in an armchair and just shake our head and say, oh, what can I do? You know, I'm powerless. There's nothing I can do about it. And my friend in Osmington Mills often says to me, you know, that's the problem with the human race. They're just disempowered, and it's I'm on my own. I'm just one person. What can I do? Well, that's what they want you to think. We are wonderful creatures. Human beings are wonderful creatures, and we can achieve so much. So, you know, we've got to keep it. We've got to keep building. And that's why I talked about the Canadian group. You know, there are good people, and there are people that are a bit wobbly. You know, go away, have a think about it. Listen to what I say, and if you... You know, you think that what I'm saying is right, then come back. So, yes, thank you for your support. Thank you for leading. Other countries will do their own thing as well. So that's a great question. Thank you.
So, from Carol, or looks like Karen. Anyway, Death and Burial. Hi, Simon and JP. I've been binge listening to all your shows, and I'm so grateful for all this information. Thank you for all that you do. My question is there a difference when we die if we are buried, embalming, or cremated? I ask because kings and pharaohs back in the day were always mummified so they could go to the afterlife. Is there a difference, and should we be buried or cremated, or does it matter? Now, right. I want to add, let's stick with that. There's a corollary question afterwards.
All right, okay, that's fine. Right, talks about the pharaohs. We have to understand that by the time of the accepted history of the pharaohs, the connection between the gods and their Anunnaki princes and kings had been severed. And so whilst the pharaohs oversaw still some exotic technologies, they had nothing in the way that they had once dreamt of. So a lot of the pure science had become ceremony or religion and had got confused. What they knew was that they had the capability through the actions of the technology of the Great Pyramid to actually bilocate. Orion was a target, and so was Cyrus or Sirius. The events that come up through the pyramid that Egyptologists tell you were there to bring fresh air down into the king's chamber or wherever, that's just nonsense. Absolute nonsense. And I cannot believe that people who've spent so many years in university could think that. Oh, yes, I can, of course, because they've been in university. So what we've got is a situation where a pharaoh believed that he had, and there was a woman as well, wasn't there, that she had to have the body preserved so that the spirit could make that transference. That wasn't necessary at all. The black... what I call the coffin, there's in the king's chamber, a black granite coffin with a piece broken out of it, which actually probably was through grave robbing. That is the position that the body was placed in. Absolutely telling everyone that you place the dying person into that black coffin, and it's from that position that equipment is used to bilocate, to transfer the soul to either Orion or Sirius. The pyramid did many things. That was just one of the things it could do. Anyway, it doesn't matter whether you're buried or cremated, because at the moment that your physical body is no longer viable, the soul will leave it. If your near-death experience, if your body appears to die, but the soul goes and comes back, it's because it was not destined to permanently die. So the physical body can temporarily shut down, but it is not destined to stop forever. And so the soul will go out and come back, and that's an out-of-body experience. So it makes no matter, because by the time you're buried or you are burnt or whatever, your soul is already gone. That's not to get sort of morbid here, but you have only to look at pictures of dead people, or for those of you who have been at the passing of a loved one, you have seen the change in that face. The life goes out of it, the spark, the real them, the soul, it goes. That doesn't die. The physical body is just finished with, but the soul goes, and then it will come back at some other point and have another body. So it doesn't matter. Have no worry about that. And you don't die. Your physical body dies, but you don't die. Your soul is immortal. It's a good question. Thank you.
Excellent. And so the next question, it was not really a corollary, but this is about the freeze box after the... this is from Andreas. I have heard you mention that the freeze box thing that occurs when you enter the tunnel of light after death. I've also heard from people who do life in between lives regression about going to a place that is like a soul school where they do life reviews and study for their next incarnation. They meet with their spirit guides and council of elders. Is this the freeze box you describe? If not, what is this place? Thank you for your amazing contribution to humanity. Love and light, Maya.
Thank you, Maya. It's very kind of you. No, it's not what I'm referring to. The freeze box is a term used by somebody who... had very good recollections of this, and that was their term. And I used it because it was an accurate term, because it technically froze the soul. It is a holding room where you are holding a soul illegally. Let me make that clear. Illegally, and you are waiting for what you consider to be the right body for it. So this is where somebody has come in, used technology, and is preventing that soul from making a choice, and then puts that soul into a body of its choice. However, it's not all doom and gloom, because on the journey down, other things can intervene, and there have been instances where, let's just call it soul A, was due to enter a body at exactly 10 p.m. and 1 second before 10 p.m. another soul beat it to it, and there is a game of chess going on, and has done for a long time. Now what you're referring to there is a location where people are receiving updates or information and volunteering to do work. So let's say, for instance, 200 years ago, you came here and you did what you needed to do, and you couldn't just come straight back because you would be thrown completely. No motor cars 200 years ago. So you have to be conditioned, and I mean that in the nice way, conditioned to the environment on the planet. You have to be given some assistance so that you can hit the ground running. So there are locations where spirit guides, off-planet entities, higher self, whatever, will support and help those who are ready to come back and do more work. So there are two different things. Thank you.
Interesting. All right. So, right. Okay. So, from Nock Choris, do aliens look different? I wonder if aliens look as different as humans do in terms of facial structure and body types. For instance, if 20 reptilians of the same race and gender stood next to each other, would they look just as different as 20 humans of the same race and gender? And if the mantid you refer to as Mum stood in a crowd of 15 other mantids, could you point him out? Much love and peace from Denmark. Very good question, I think.
Oh, well done that you know Mum's a male. Great. Right. Most people faced with 10 reptilians, and providing they stood their ground,
Would run.
Yeah, exactly. Yes. Would not be able to tell the difference. If we're talking about soldiers, so we're talking about the soldiers, the green, greeny-brown skin creatures, would not be able to tell the difference. However, they sort of have I call it armor. I don't mean metal armor. They have, like a crocodile, they have plates or nodes, certainly on their bodies and on their heads. They're not all the same. Now, a man or a woman who studies dolphins will know, they give them names, will know the name of a dolphin or a whale from a distance of about, 100 yards or something, because they've studied them and they will know there are very, very slight differences. If you had that expertise, you would be able to tell the different reptilians. But to the untrained eye, they look all absolutely similar. It's very difficult with mantid or mantis, because they look even more similar. Because they don't have a variation of skin color. They don't have armored nodes. They are, the skin is very much like a sort of a watermelon. They look remarkably similar. That's within the same group, because there are different groups or different families. However, some are taller than others. So the greatest giveaway is how tall something is, with a mantid. So would I tell the difference? Yes, but not by looking. I would know the difference because of the energy intent of Mum. Now, if Mum wears a purple robe, so if Mum was the only purpled robe mantid in a group of 20, then, none of the others could be Mum. But if you had 20 purple robed mantids, and that would be a high number, I've never seen as many as that, I've seen 12, I haven't seen any more than that. But then I would have to get closer. I couldn't do that from 100 yards away, I couldn't do it. I could tell it from 20 feet, then I would know. But other than that, no, because they look exactly identical. So it's a really good question. No one's asked me that before, thank you.
Yeah, it's really, it's well, I've got, I know it takes it, that I always took it down to the chickens, but I've got two Scottish grey chickens, and they look identical. I can't tell the difference between them. You know, and they seem to behave the same, but anyway, there's probably something like that. People are calling in, please don't call in, we're not taking calls. There is a call to listen number, it's on the website, and I'll put it in the chat room in a second, just so that people can call in and not disturb this call. So, there we go. Thank you very much. Right, so, next question. Ah, to the planets. Can you, from Adam, can you comment on Saturn's effect on our reality here, and what part, if any, the moon plays? Are the Council of Nine involved, and do they govern our area of space? So, yeah.
Right. We have to go back to satanic lore, black magic, but we actually have to go back even further than that to understand that certain planets are given labels and energies. They mean things to different people. So to an astronaut, a moon is a place that you can potentially land, allegedly. But to somebody from the esoteric group, the moon has an incredibly interesting feminine energy and a very strong pull on the Earth other than just through gravity. Saturn is seen as a negative force, and it is literally the law that this sort of hidden group society use, and it is part of the satanic part of the Illuminati group who use advanced technology people call it magic. It's actually science. It's very hard to put into words on a show when we've only got 1 hour, but what is understood as magic by some is actually understood as technology by another. The ability to use your mind, the ability to manipulate energies that cannot be seen to the uninitiated is magic. But it actually isn't. It's just as real as anything else. So when certain planets or stars are in an interesting confluence with each other, then we can, with some reality, predict what is predicted to happen. And I said the two predictions deliberately, because if you have the right software, you can look ahead many thousands of years and say, oh, these planets and stars will be in this alignment. So what we're going to do is say that when they're in this alignment, this will happen. And then what they'll do is they'll set up all of the magic or science to try to bring that about. So when that key falls into place, whatever was projected to happen physically does take place. So if you look at Revelation in the Bible, it talks in a way that we are looking at in September or October of this year. It does not mean the end of the world in September and October. And I know some people don't always hear what I say, so I'm going to say it again. It is not the end of the world in September, October. It is the coming together of some very, very important planets, which have been predicted 2,000 years ago, which the evil elite will use as a sign or as the marker to activate one of their plans. So it's a really good question. I think the questioner understands what I'm talking about. I hope everyone's got a grasp of that. But it's not about being fearful. It's about manipulation. It's how the human race has been manipulated by myth. And we need to understand that. Okay, thank you.
Thanks. This question is from Shani. Hello, Simon and JP. I really love the show. Thank you. I was wondering if there is time, can I send good energies to my younger self to help through hard times, for example? I hope you understand this. Love from Israel and Source. Bless you, Shani.
I'm just calculating the answer. Just give me a minute, because that's incredibly difficult, because you're talking about time in a third dimensional reality. No. You are the person you are now because of what you went through. If you were to alter, if you were to go back to the earlier mark of creation of that individual and you did something, that individual would take a different life course or route than the one you actually took. So the person who asked me that question now would not be the same person had you been able to go back and do things. Now, you may have made a better person, or you may have made a different person, but you would not have learnt on your journey. So no, don't do that. What you need to do is to strengthen who you are now. The 3D physical nonsense that we all have to deal with on this planet, we either run away from it, in which case we don't learn, or we face it and we say, how can I do that? How can I actually, how can I be strong? How can I learn from this so that I don't do this mistake again? So you're better off giving yourself strength now at this point, because this is the moment of test. You know, these weeks, months, possibly year, but this is the time of test. We're in it. You're better off reinforcing who you are now and anyone that you love around you. So it's not helpful to do that. I know it seems to be a good thing, and you think, well, I had a really hard life, or, you know, it's really difficult, and if I was to go back in time, I'd have a different life. Yeah, but you'd be a different person now. You might be working in a bank. You might be making vaccines to give to children. You could be anything, but you are what you are. You need to love who you are. You need to be proud of who you are, and you need to really go out there and just give yourself as much strength as you can. It's a really good question. Thank you.
Excellent. So, here's a question from Rainbow Weaver. Could you speak about the origin and the history of the Spear of Destiny, or as, you know, condensed as much as you can?
All right, okay. Longinus, as the name of the Roman centurion, who carried a standard Roman spear, which was not a pilum, it was not a javelin, it was called a hasta. This is a long wooden pole, about 6 foot long, with a very heavy iron or steel point. It's something that the cavalry troops used later on in the Roman Empire, but we don't want to get too much into the military of it. It's reported that it was thrust into Jesus's side, and ever since then, either pieces of the spear, the wooden shaft, or pieces of the cross, anything to do with that particular moment, were cherished. Lots of fakes about, of course. The spear passed down into, first of all, military hands, and then into elite, the people who could afford to buy it. So if you were, I don't know, the governor of Syria or somewhere, and a very rich merchant came along and said, I'd like to buy Longinus's spear, they would buy it. And this is what happened. And it ended up not in the Austrian Museum, as is so incorrectly told, but it ended up in the cathedral church in Austria. Now, when Adolf Hitler was in his formative years, I'm using the word very loosely, he would continually go to that church, not because he prayed to God, but he was absolutely besotted with the concept of the spear that was stuck into Jesus. And the spear actually was suspended from the ceiling. One of the major reasons, we call it the Anschluss, the major reasons that Germany annexed Austria was so that Hitler could, I'll use the word legitimately, obviously in tongue-in-cheek, legitimately seize the spear. So one of the first things when Austria was annexed by Germany, one of the first things was the SS went in and got the spear. Now, it was taken to Hitler's quarters. It remained with Hitler until the very end of the war, and it was then put to I can't remember if it was a salt mine, but it was hidden with a number of art treasures, and I think it was General Patton, who again was not just an ordinary general, who then obtained the spear. The spear contained an entity. There was a demon living in a spear. Now, I'm running out of time. Basically, it is very possible for a demon to inhabit an object, and you've only got to see the film or read the book Aladdin to realize that the genie, the jinn, lived in a lamp. So it can live in a lamp, it can live in a musical instrument, it can live in a candelabra, and in this instance, it inhabited the Spear of Destiny. So that's a potted history of it. So thank you, it's a good question.
Fab, thanks very much. Our probably last question is... Right, I don't know if it's a long question or a long answer. It's a long question, short answer. But I'll summarize the question. Michael Sarin talks about John Dee, who entered into contact with interdimensional negative beings who gave him technology. And they explode the European splendor and all this stuff. These beings continue to provide resistance. So the question is, are these negative interdimensional beings part of the present equation and are what we now call the Archons? This could explain the widespread practice of paedophilia and sacrifice, as child emotions are considered a delicacy. So to say, what is the origin of these Archons and how do they fit into the ET hierarchy that we're familiar with?
Right. You're right. Long question and impossibly long answer. First of all, Archons are connected to artificial intelligence. Now, if we accept that everything is created by Source, then we have to believe that Archons were created by Source, even if they sparked to life unintentionally, is there such a thing as unintentional? And that would explain why they've been given free rein. Because if they were created by Source, then they have every right to use free will, and they choose to use it in a negative way. It is only in recent times that a number of positive groups have come together to form groups within councils, groups within federations, or galactic groupings to specifically take on the challenge around the Earth. Earth has been designated as a fire wall. We don't have many forest fires in Great Britain, but people in Canada and America will understand that. So I guess for the British group, I need to say to you that when a fire rages in a forest, one of the first things they've got to do is to clear a path many, many feet wide so that the fire doesn't jump across. And in the Great Fire of London in 1666, the Lord Mayor of London authorised the dynamiting of people's houses to exactly do the same, so that the fire couldn't jump across from one house to another. Earth has been designated as a firewall site because if we are not successful and we do not prevent AI from contaminating humanity here, then it has the potential to go right across the multiverse. So it isn't just because the Galactic Federation or this group or that group really like humans and they feel really sorry for us and, you know, it's terrible down there, isn't it? There is that, but there's a real driving force that if they don't make the marker here on this planet and make this the battleground, then they will all pay a very, very heavy price for it in the future. And that is why, unprecedentedly, we've had so many different benevolent groups saying, we'll get off the back of our armchair and we'll actually come and help you to do something. And the reptilians unwittingly played a part in bringing AI to this quadrant. AI, archonic infection into reptilian computers. Now the reptilians programmed their computers, and that is why so much of the archonic intellect is reptilian based, because it spent a huge amount of time living in reptilian programmed computers. It took on almost the persona of those who programmed it. So that is why today archonic signature is very similar to reptilian signature. But the reptilians are at war with the archons. The mantids are at war with the archons. Any organic living creature is working or trying to work against the archons, because the archons aren't bothered whether you are mantid or reptilian or even grey. They just want to subsume that material. And I keep on saying how truth is placed out in Hollywood. The Borg in Star Trek The Next Generation is the directors, the producers, trying to warn people. You know, you'd have the great fun of Arnold Schwarzenegger being a baddie and then being a goodie. And, you know, we've talked about Steve Austin, the $6 million man. And we have this transhuman agenda, how, oh, being human is actually very weak. You know, let's replace you with these electronic parts. And then you've got Star Trek The Next Generation, where they're actually showing biological entities are transformed into robots with a hive mind. Because that's what they want. They want humans on Earth transferred into the hive mind, and then they all become archonic AI. So our enemy isn't the reptilians. It isn't the greys. Our enemy is the archonic energies that are attempting to take out all of biological life. So when we see drones, when we got all these big organizations showing us drones or robots that can do this or things that can do that, sadly, it's not just about isn't technology great, it's going to make your life easier. It's trying to get humans to give up being human. You know, I know we're running out of time, but I must finish this. It's important. You know, if we, I wouldn't say to do it. But if you took away everyone's cell phone and everybody's mobile phone and say, right, you're not having cell phone or mobile phone anymore, we're going to make it go back to the 1970s, the number of people who would develop telepathic capabilities would skyrocket. It's because we have cell phones, mobile phones, we don't need to try to use telepathy because we've got our cell phone. You know, I'm as guilty as everyone else. I have a sat nav in my car. I gave up looking at a map. You know, but when I first started to drive, there were no sat navs, and I used to look at my map and where am I going? I'm going to do this, and okay, if that road's blocked, I'll go that way. I was, you know, dependent upon myself. But on the sat nav, I'm now dependent on a machine. So, hey, if the sat nav was turned off, if the internet was turned off, if the cell phones were turned off, people who have built their whole life around the technology, I mean, younger people who don't remember a life without this technology, it's going to hit them very hard. And that's another reason I set up Connecting Consciousness and wanted groups of people to support each other. So it's a really good question. And I'm really sorry that I'm going to have to go now. And I've loved this hour. It doesn't mean I'll go back to doing hours, but I'll be ready for 2 hours next session.
Well, Simon, I hope I speak on behalf of everybody to wish you the best. I hope your situation seals up, heals up.
Yep.
You know, as I said, I've been witnessing my own hand healing up amazingly from this horrible trauma. So, we have the amazing ability to heal as humans. So thank you very much. This has been Connecting Consciousness with Simon Parks.
God bless. Thank you.